following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Salutations, my fellow nomads, and welcome to Behind the X. Our journey will take you through the world of lacrosse, learning things from understanding how to play lacrosse to the sport's Native American roots. Let's dive straight in. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Behind the X. Today's episode, Welcome to the Big Leagues, we'll be covering college lacrosse and its different levels, indoor professional lacrosse, outdoor professional lacrosse, and its history as well. Let's dive in. Starting off with college lacrosse, there are different levels or different divisions of the sport, so to speak. Starting off at the very bottom, not the worst, but you can work your way up from here. Starting as JUCO or junior college. Now, going to a junior college does not necessarily mean a bad thing in terms of your lacrosse skill. It just means that you're working to get better and or you're working to improve some sort of skill to make yourself look appealing to other coaches at higher levels. Moving on from JUCO, you have NAIA lacrosse as well as MCLA lacrosse, and these two are considered club lacrosse, so they aren't fully NCAA sports, but they do have their different divisions at divisions 1, 2, and 3, similar to NCAA. However, they are not a part of the NCAA sport or colleges, if you will. Moving up one level, you've got the highest you could go in terms of college lacrosse, NCAA. NCAA is sponsored and is some of the best lacrosse that you'll ever see played. Different NCAA teams, starting from the bottom at D3, include teams like Amherst, Tufts, and MIT, which are all Division III NCAA teams. Moving on to NCAA Division II, you've got colleges like Mercyhurst, Westminster, and Bentley University. Moving up to the highest level, Division I, you've got top schools such as Maryland, Syracuse, and Hofstra. The NCAA does a round-robin style tournament after the regular season has been played by all college professional levels. So once the Maryland teams play the Syracuse, and Syracuse plays Hofstra, and Hofstra plays Maryland, and all the other teams at each level, they'll also play Mercyhurst, Westminster, and Bentley, and they'll play teams like Amherst and Tufts and MIT, and they're all intermingled for some fun games to watch on a weekend or a weekday, depending on when they're playing. Once they're done playing, they'll move on to the NCAA tournament. That's the biggest or best stage to be at in terms of lacrosse for a college. And in order to get selected in this process, you'll have to have beneficial things going your way, such as a good win-loss record. You must have a very strong schedule, meaning that you're playing top 10 teams consistently and also either consistently beating and or playing very well against in order to be considered a pick in terms for this NCAA championship tournament. Other things that can work in your way for this tournament include recorded ranks against other teams, such as the first seed versus the fifth seed, the sixth seed versus the 10th seed, or the 16th seed versus the 20th seed. In this NCAA tournament, there will be a total of 18 teams selected by a committee before play actually begins. During this tournament, teams will play other teams, and this tournament can include teams from the highest level at Division I lacrosse all the way down to Division III lacrosse. Once again, the better you play during your season or the regular season, the better of a chance or a higher chance you'll have of being picked by this committee. Moving on to last year's NCAA tournament championship game. The game was Maryland against Cornell, in which Maryland won in a very big thriller towards the end. It's a very good game. I highly recommend that you go watch it for yourself, especially if you are either bored or an up-and-coming lacrosse player and want to get better.
Some of the most notable players from that 2022 championship team for Maryland, in my personal opinion, include Logan Wisnowskis, Brett Makar, Keegan Kahn, Owen Murphy, as well as Ajax Zapatello. Logan Wisnowskis, Keegan Kahn, and Owen Murphy are all attackmen. Brett Makar, along with Ajax Zapatello, are both defensive men, meaning they have the long pole. Logan Wisnowskis finished out his senior year with 61 goals, 42 assists, and a total of 103 points. Keegan Kahn finished out his senior year with 35 goals, 28 assists, for a total of 63 points. Owen Murphy finished out his sophomore year with 34 goals, 5 assists, for a total of 39 points. Brett Makar, being a defensive man, only had 1 goal and 2 assists for a total of 3 points, which is still pretty good. Logan Wisnowskis and Brett Makar are both current players in the PLL team, Logan Wisnowskis being drafted to the Chrome, Brett Makar being drafted to the Atlas, both of which have played great first seasons. However, both Atlas and Chrome did not make the championship game, unfortunately. Moving on to the other team, Cornell, some of its players that I'd recommend looking out for and or looking up for yourself include CJ Kirst, John Piatelli, and Gavin Adler. CJ Kirst is an up-and-coming junior at Cornell who had 55 goals, 24 assists for a total of 79 points. Piatelli had 66 goals, 17 assists for a total of 83 points. And Gavin Adler, who was a defenseman, once again with that long pole, had 0 goals but had 1 assist, which is pretty good. Gavin Adler, also drafted 3rd to the Atlas in the PLL, is currently injured but did play for the first half of his rookie season. The last time that Cornell had an NCAA championship appearance was in 2009, but the last championship that they won was in 1977, so Cornell was really gunning for it against Maryland when they were playing. Unfortunately, they lost, but they did get the runner-up trophy. Moving on to professional lacrosse, we've got 3 different leagues, 2 of which are outdoor, 1 of which is indoor, also known as box lacrosse, whereas outdoor, also known as field lacrosse. There is only 1 professional lacrosse program to play indoor lacrosse or box lacrosse, and that is the NLL, or the National Lacrosse League. The National Lacrosse League was founded in 1986 and continues up to this day, and is amazing to watch and can be watched on ESPN+. You might need a subscription, but I'd say it's worth the money, especially if you want to watch other collegiate lacrosse games as well. The teams in the NLL include the Albany Firewolves, the Buffalo Bandits, the Calgary Roughnecks, the Colorado Mammoth, Georgia Swarm, Halifax Thunderbirds, Las Vegas Desert Dogs, New York Riptide, Panther City Lacrosse Club, Philadelphia Wings, Rochester Nighthawks, San Diego Seals, Saskatchewan Rush, Toronto Rock, and the Vancouver Warriors. All these teams will play each other during the regular season of the NLL, and the NLL does a similar round-robin style tournament to the NCAA in order to choose 2 teams in the championship game. Most recently, winning the 2022-2023 championship game was the Buffalo Bandits, with one of the top field and box lacrosse players known as Josh Byrne. Josh Byrne is very good, wears number 92 on the field, and I recommend any up-and-coming lacrosse player to watch him and watch how he plays. Moving on to field lacrosse, we'll start at the beginning
with the creation of the MLL, or Major League Lacrosse, to play field lacrosse for those who would like to play lacrosse after college but did not have a place to play. The MLL, which was founded in 2001, has teams consisting of Denver Outlaws, Ohio Machine, Atlanta Blaze, Charlotte Hounds, Rochester Rattlers, Chesapeake Bayhawks, Philadelphia Barrage, New York Lizards, Florida Launch, Connecticut Hammerheads, and the Boston Cannons, most notable of which will be the Boston Cannons, but we'll get into that in a bit. These teams continue to play each other until December 16th of 2020, when the MLL merged with the PLL, also known as the Premier Lacrosse League. The Premier Lacrosse League, founded by the Rabel brothers, Paul Rabel and Mike Rabel, together to create a better league for lacrosse players at the field level. For more information on the merger between the PLL and the MLL, I suggest that you go watch Fate of a Sport. It is on ESPN Plus and on Hulu. The main acquisition from this PLL-MLL merger was the player Lyle Thompson. Lyle Thompson is an attackman for the Boston Cannons in the MLL. However, since the expansion pack of the MLL / PLL, the Boston Cannons became a team in the PLL franchise and have been since. The teams in the PLL currently include the Water Dogs Lacrosse Club, Chaos Lacrosse Club, Cannons Lacrosse Club, Archers Lacrosse Club, Chrome Lacrosse Club, Redwood Lacrosse Club, and the Atlas Lacrosse Club. All of these teams play each other, and recently the Archers Lacrosse Club and Water Dogs Lacrosse Club went head-to-head for a championship game, of which the Archers Lacrosse Club came out on top for their first ever championship, while the Water Dogs tried but ultimately failed to defend their championship title from last year. This game is also on ESPN Plus if those would like to watch any review, and is on the PLL YouTube website if you would like to watch highlights of the game and not the full game. Now stay safe and don't get lost out there, nomads, and we'll see you next time on Behind the X.